We are back. Sit your podcast down. Season 2, episode, I don't know.
14, 15. I think it's 15.
We're well in double digits now. I'm here. Fly is here. G is here. The crew is here. What's going on, fellas?
I'm good, you know. Things are well. Wasn't an eventful weekend, I guess. BET Awards, NBA basketball, versus lots of fun things for the culture. A couple L's for the culture, but mostly I'd say dubs for the most part. I guess we'll start with this. We'll start with the versus, since that was kind of what's first, technically. I have to do more research on this. I don't know if Swiss and Tim still own a part of it, or they just sold it completely. So I don't know if they're just still getting the bag on the side or whatnot. I have no idea. But I will say this. Just in general, I fucking hate Versus now. I hate it. The spirit of what it was is ruined. And it's like whenever we let it go, we don't own it no more, it starts to feel like you get that creative direction from people that don't know the culture. And I'm just like, this shit feel just so forced. But other than that, Drake was every bit of crazy, not Drake, Draco. Big Draco was every bit as crazy as I expected. This motherfucker, talk about like him, Cass, who else? Maybe Mayweather. If you could just bottle and sell that confidence that they have, man, it is something else to just live in a world where, nah, like, I'm the greatest at everything. You can never compare. Like, really?
Impressive. Is he lying, though?
Impressive.
Nah, he is to me. Big Draco's on the, he's on my irrational confidence list. So,
yeah. Definitely top five. Top five.
Yeah, Drake, Big Draco. I mean, I thought he pretty much lost almost every round to me, but
every round.
This is the thing, though. He lost almost every round, but he won.
Yeah.
How do you win when you bring out Romeo?
He got a Nicki verse on the spot, mailed in.
Nice. That's all good.
And first time he brought out Romeo, the first time him and Ba was on stage together, because you know he like Jordan and Romeo like Kobe.
Yeah.
Wait, and
Draco LeBron.
LeBron.
And Drake's LeBron. Yeah. I think they're all on the irrational confidence list at this point.
I'm with you that as soon as I like actually sat down and started watching this, I immediately could tell that the we've been compromised. Like Versus is not Versus anymore.
It lost its charm. Like once it stopped going, you know, I'm going to Zoom and we're going to be on Instagram Live and I'm going to have my setup my setup is going to get messed up a little bit and your sound is going to be off. Like it lost its whole charm of the Versus battle.
Like the charm was that it wasn't a concert. The charm was that it was a struggle. It was like, let me see you in your element. Let me see you at the crib. Like that was the charm. We was all home. Now it's just make these concerts. At this point, fuck it. Making a concert and y'all duel and just make it. If you're going to go that route, then go fully that route and not be the same thing y'all was anymore. Because this ain't Versus no more.
It's not. And I kind of blame Bounty Killer and what you call it for that. Because they changed the entire format of Versus. Once everybody saw what they did, Versus was like, yo, we should do that. And it got away from what was working in the first place. Like, you had Teddy Riley versus Babyface. You would never get them on stage to do a Versus. Mm. You know, it kind of ruined the whole charm of it. You know, but Bow Wow smoked big Draco to me. Big Draco had a lot. Big Draco didn't even know the words to his own songs.
Yeah, he was trying to come in. He was trying to like rap with some of his songs, and he kept coming in at the wrong time. I'm like, yo. He was sitting there waiting for his verse to drop on the what song is that? He's sitting there waiting for his verse to drop for a whole 2 minutes.
What song was that? Was Bow was like, yo, where's your verse?
Funniest that I remember, he was like, yo, he said, you ain't on this song. He said, I did the beat. Bow was like, yeah, I could tell. I was, you know, it almost made me forget that Bow Wow is on the top five most lamest niggas ever award. It almost made me forget. I'm like, why are you this lame?
Yeah.
See, and the thing is, it's no reason for him to be. Because when you look at it, like when Romeo said he was Jordan, like he really is like Jordan for that era. Like he got a lot of sons. Like,
yeah. Two were on stage that night.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Like that's.
But let's not sleep on Big Draco, all right? My man he pretty much birthed an era that will forever be criticized as the downfall of rap.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd be proud of that, but.
But this is the era. He birthed the, like I said, you know, I even had music on SoundClick, right? Like, I had to go, once he started talking, I forgot that I had tracks over there. I had to go back and dig them up. Then SoundCloud, then the SoundCloud rapper, then mumble rap. That's Big Draco. He started it all.
He did birth a lot of fuck shit in rap.
And you know what?
He had to crawl before the Migos could fly. That's a fact.
But you know what's crazy about that and crazy about this era is like Big Draco. And you look at somebody like T-Pain, right? Because I was watching that This Is Pop documentary, and Usher thought that T-Pain like ruined music with the auto-tune.
Where they've been doing auto-tune since way before that.
Right, since like the 80s.
Right, just ain't had the technology. They had the little tube in their mouth.
Right. And the crazy thing is like guys like Big Draco, T-Pain actually have some talent. They actually have a little bit of talent with them. T-Pain has a lot of talent. Well, songwriter, he can actually sing. But the thing is, what they do is so simple and stupid that people actually feel like, you know what? Since they can do it, I can do it. And it opened up the floodgates.
It did.
People are just mad that people like Lil B and Soulja Boy outmarketed them. Because like literally Soulja Boy, all he was doing was changing the name of songs.
That was it.
On LimeWire, and people were downloading the new Jay-Z, the new Nas, and they was getting Soulja Boy.
Right.
Let's all do it. Outside, I mean, he's doing other stuff. So let me not flex, but he outmarketed this dude that people consider stupid, which, I mean, he kind of act like he got problems, but he outmarketed geniuses.
Yeah, he did. And he's made hit songs. He's made some good beats. Like same with T-Pain. Like they actually have some type of talent, but they're so simple and kind of trash with the stuff that they did. It was just like, yo, I can do that. And people don't realize the type of effort and thinking that went into what they were doing.
That's fair. So
they gave a lot of bums the blueprint to be bigger bums.
I will say this: so a lot of bums that he birthed didn't last. Some of them did. A lot didn't. Some did. But for the most part, I just think the idea of like sounding like that is the worst thing about it, right? That it made it like okay to sound kind of retarded on songs because it was catchy enough that it hooked. Like I'm telling you, like you can't go listen to Soulja Boy, then go listen to the Migos right now, and don't tell me it sounds so much different. It doesn't. It does not. That shit could be on the same damn album. Thug too. I like Thug, but I'm sorry. You put up a Soulja Boy song and go with Thug, somebody you're gonna be like, oh, I see some influences here. Who was first? I'm just saying. He burnt a lot of that shit.
Hey man.
He lost every like you say, he lost every round, but he still won.
He won. He won. He got Drake said he would have pulled up. tell right. me, I've been trying to hate Drake even more since I said I liked him, and it just ain't working. Like, he keep popping up in places he's not supposed to be.
Honestly, I got to admit, if you'd have told me in 2021, a half Jewish Canadian rapper would quite possibly be the best rapper in rap right now, like GOAT status amongst his peers at the moment, I'd be like, you high as shit. There's no way this would happen. Drake is probably the biggest anomaly in rap since maybe Eminem. Just like, he continues to kind of just do the right thing somehow. Even when, like, you people come for him for legitimate reasons, it's kind of like, doesn't work. Like, Meek had a beef with him that was legit. And he was just like back to back and just destroyed that shit. And it was like, yeah, fuck you. And everybody was just like, yo, fuck Meek. And I was just like, damn, Meek, like, what happened? Now Meek looks suspect. Look at how that whole energy shifted. Drake is just, I don't know, man, he's different. He's different. Like, I gave it to him.
He's tapped into the you know, rappers are supposed to take themselves serious. He's tapped into, like, the fame of rap without taking himself serious.
Yeah.
And that just allows him to fucking do whatever.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You're right. Rappers always, I'm so fucking serious. And it's like, the three or four guys that are like, I could pull back a little bit, tend to be the ones that are bigger than life. And that's where Drake is right now.
He never boxed himself in to just be something that he's not. So I can say, like, a lot of rappers, they kind of give off a certain persona when they come out first. And then, you know, Drake never did that. So all the stuff Drake does is like, man, I guess, you know, I see him doing that.
He took chances in the beginning. I think he had to. He came out as Jimmy from Degrassi. Like, you got to take yourself like, all right, I can't come out with super hard shit all the time because you're going to be like, who the fuck are you? I think he understood that. And if you look at his story, like, he was behind the scenes with people getting water and shit. Like, he was the bum for a while until he, you know, figured his shit out. So, I mean, you know, again, wasn't about Drake, but here we are talking about fucking Drake. See, it's well done. Well, pretty fucking done.
Pretty dominant in his market.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, man. I just, the verse is just,
Hey, real quick. Nori is trying to do a versus with Beanie Siegel. Where do y'all stand on that? Because
did something happen?
He called him. Oh, he called him out. Well, I think, I don't know who started it. I think Nori pretty much, I think somebody called somebody out, but Nori was talking shit like, I'll wash you. He said, even Rock Nation would bet on me to beat you. That's what Nori said. And Bean just like, yo, what's up? Like, let's get it popping.
Did Bean got enough songs?
See, but here's the thing. Of course, because here's what I'm noticing on Twitter.
That's what I was about to say, too.
My timeline is different. Because I got a lot of dudes from the South on my timeline. I got a lot of hardcore hip-hop dudes on my timeline, New York dudes. And it's kind of been like, all these dudes have Nori, like, losing. Handedly. And I'm sitting there looking like, you know what? I don't think that's true.
No.
It's like,
despite how I feel about the Neptune's beats, like, Nori has, like, all of them, doesn't he?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He had Neptune's beats before they were cool. Like, he had them when they were first coming out, like, oh, who are these random dudes? And they were like, this beat's fire, but who are these dudes? Like, Beanie, unless he's going to play just Jay features, has no chance at beating Nori. That's just, he ain't got enough music. He just don't got enough that I want to hear.
Do Beanie even like, because Nori got the streets too.
Right. And that was a great thing, because everybody, like, because here's what I thought a lot of dudes was missing on the timeline is, like, they keep talking about lyricism. Like, this is a song, like, he's a battle of songs. Nori has a lot of songs that he can play, like, he could pull from a CNN catalog. And it's, and you know, you got people down south like, oh, Nori ain't hit down south like that. Well, neither is Beanie Siegel. I was like, Nori got more recognizable hits. I said on Twitter, Nori's going to be one of them dudes that when you hear the song, like, oh, I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Like, he's that guy. And, like, I don't think they realize what he has in the bag. Like, Nori has a lot in the bag.
Let's just be honest about this. Nori has at least 5 to 7 songs that are bigger than any song that Beanie's ever done without an assistance from Jay or somebody like that. Like there's just Beanie don't have enough. Beanie was supposed to be number 2 on Rockefeller. That never happened. He was always like in a 3 or a 4 spot, like always. He was never like, oh yeah, you can come up. That's why they needed a Kanye. That's why he was trying to find, that's why he had a Young Gunner. That's why he had Chris and Neef. That's why, because like Beans just was, lyrically he's nice, right? But remember when they had a few, DMX and Jay, right? The tools was Jada and Beans. Was that shit fair? Clearly fucking not. One's a top 10 of all time and one's not top 30, probably. Maybe. You got to stretch for that? Actually, no. He's not my top 30. I'll tell you that shit right now. Period. I'm just like, so even with his lyricism, I mean, it's not enough. And then the songs weren't big enough. Nori has at least 5 or 6 songs where it's just like, all right, I'm not even going to hear the next song that Beans plays. So what are we talking about? I would like to see it, but I think Nori needs somebody else. Beans has to go. I don't know. That's a good question.
I think it'd be like if Nori, because I remember they were discussing, I know on his podcast, they were discussing Nori versus Cam.
No, Cam gonna smack him.
Yeah, but you know, you're going 20 songs. Cam catalog is I don't think anybody's really gonna call out Cam. Like I wouldn't want a Cam.
It's the only way you get Cam is it has to be Cam versus 50, and it has to be Dipset versus G Unit. It has to go to that. It can't be Cam has too much, and Cam spans too many eras.
No,
it has too many bangers,
and that's it.
You said what?
Cam got to go versus Mason. That's it.
Ooh, Mace, I like it.
Mace got big hits.
It's not about the song that there. It's like Jeezy had to go versus.
It's Gucci. The energy.
It's not about the songs. I'm talking about verses. I need people to almost want to fight. Like I need there to be a little bit of disrespect.
I do want
like,
that energy back.
You know that disrespect when Teddy was or what's her name was just like, yeah, I mean you could have been in this room, but like the slight disrespect.
The subtle shade. Oh, I didn't know we were doing remixes.
I agree. I don't think Cam would do it though. Mace ain't big enough, I think, to him. In his heyday, I think he was. I don't think he would do it now.
I don't think Mace has enough period to mess with
Cam. I don't think he does. Not no. His big hits are gonna win, but he don't have enough of them. Like he's gonna get by on a couple rounds. He won't get washed at all. But win the whole thing, no. I'd argue that no. There's no way that's gonna happen. I'm not hearing that. But like I said, I would love to see the Dipset versus 50 Cent, Dipset versus G Unit. I would love to hear that. I feel like there's heat on both sides of that. Well, that may be the first like toss up where it's like, I don't know who won this.
That would be a tough one. There's some heat. That was a rivalry when they both was hot mixtapes. That was a big rivalry.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, honestly, that'd be nice.
That one. That can go either way for me. That one, it really just depends on the night, honestly. It depends on who what they open with. If they open with some bull, I don't know.
I think G Unit edges them out only if they go heavy on like when they was torn off mixtapes in New York. If they get a lot of that out of there, then I think it's hard to beat that.
They could do a mixtape battle because I think you just
do it's so much.
You just went from hits. I think G Unit would probably smoke Dipset if you just look at hits.
Nah, you got to do a mixtape. You got to even have like. Yeah. It's got to be a lot of mixtapes in the battle. It's got to be a lot of mixtapes. Otherwise, I think if you go hit for hit on just like commercial stuff, oh no.
Yeah.
Because you had. They had more albums. They had bigger hits. Like 50 was a mega star and he was putting out Beg for Mercy. It ain't the same. But mixtape stuff, like that would be interesting. Side note, speaking of mixtapes, Boy Benny, product of the city, Buffalo's own. He said what he had a tweet. I don't want to misquote my man, so I'm actually going to go find it. But he had a tweet essentially saying what they did, what Griselda did in terms of like for underground rap will never be repeated. Let me see. What Griselda did for street underground genre cannot be duplicated. Now, I only bring it up because when he said what they did for the underground street genre will never be duplicated, the first thought in my head was Dipset G-Unit in terms of like them having such a heavy influence on the streets. Do I think what Benny and them boys did was greater than that? Because I don't think I would say that. I think what they did was unique in the times, but I don't think their impact was at a G-Unit Dipset level.
I mean, not even like Lox level. What do you like?
Yeah, that too.
Like, I'm not reading into it too much, but I would say to me it would be disingenuous to say that what they did can never be duplicated when what they did was birthed from the names that you just said.
That's what I was thinking. But I'll only take a pause on it because I think in that era, if you take those three, add the Lox to that, right? The era the hip hop seemed more prime for that. Where I feel like now they want more of the commercial, they want more of the gimmicky, and like there's less of an influence on bars, there's less of an influence on like that grittier rap. Like, I think from an era perspective, maybe, but just from an impact perspective, man, them boys trump y'all. I love Griselda. We know, I mean, they from the city, it's whatever, but bro,
I'd have to hear the details because I mean, yeah. I guess they can make an argument to say like, I don't know, like, what their deals are and, like, you know, what the independent hustle look like and the comparison. So, like, and even they could even say maybe nothing will ever come out of Buffalo like they did. You know, I could get on board with that.
That's a fact.
Yeah. If he has to, you mean, I don't know the context of what he means.
He didn't. That was just it. That was just a tweet. That was a tweet. No context.
Elaborate, but he can't, I mean, you look at the 90s, the early 2000s, people are doing what they did. So you're talking about, if he's talking about era, like you said earlier, then I get it. Because for them to pop off in this era was not easy to do. And you opened up, you know, you felt like you could open up a market and show that people still like that type of music and it could still be successful.
Right.
So why they still out there, Banks is still out there, you know, people that we grew up liking, that type of music can still sell. So
that's how I looked at it. I looked at it like on an era perspective. I think I may be with them on that, but
yeah,
y'all didn't do what them boys did.
No.
Different time, but nah.
Like Venus and Dipset literally shifted the entire mixtape culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like you had your Clues, your DJ Clues and Who Kids and DJ Big Mike and K-Slay and all them dudes before that was doing regular mixtapes, but actual like artists, groups like, yo, we doing a mixtape, that changed the entire culture.
Is it a reach to say that them popping off may have inspired some of the boys that we grew up with to feel like they can come out?
I think so. Because when you look at the mixtapes and what they did, I mean, you had to feel like, you know what, if I'm nice, I can put out, I keep grinding and I keep putting out good music, then, you know, I got a shot. You know, even though it was a million rappers trying to do a million bangs, but.
I would say yes, because if you look at a lot of their features, right? And we know how like features work, which is why I kind of wish guys like Drake were more selective. But like a feature is a sign of respect. If I'm doing a song with you, there's a respect there, right? There's respect to what you were, especially if you're an older head, right? They always have songs with old heads. Always.
Yeah, I agree. It is a sign of respect, but a lot of times it's just who's hot.
Well, now I'm saying now it's becoming that. And that's, if there's a knock on Drake, it's like, oh, you hot, or I'm going to try to help you get hot, I'm going to do a versus you. Back in the day, Jay wasn't giving every nigga verses. Even dudes he was cool with. I'm not hopping on. Like, they weren't doing songs. Like, he wasn't like, yo, hey, Nas, want to do a record together? Like, fuck that. I'm doing me, you doing you. I'm going to bring my little ones up, you bring your little ones up. And that's how it was. So I feel like I do like the fact that back in the day, it was like, oh, if I give you a verse, or when I give you a verse, it's about to be some epic shit. Like, every time Biggie had somebody that was big, it was like, oh, shit. And you hear guys talk about it. You hear, like, when you hear Method talk about when he had a track with him, I think it was on Ready to Die, he was like, yo, when I got in a booth with Big, I knew I had to be, like, crazy with it. And I think that level of respect is cool. So when you see them boys getting songs with the old heads, they always find somebody like somebody off the locks. They get a Styles or a Kiss verse. They got up with DMX, which was cool. And then you talk about Banks. Banks had them boys on. So, like, I think that shit with him and Benny is fire. So I think it is good to see that there's a need and there's a desire for that, even to a commercial level, for like that kind of rap. So I definitely think they're a throwback. They definitely would have fit in like that late 90s era of like how hip hop was. So, I mean, definitely respect given for that. But
yeah,
I think the old heads got to just realize your fans still out there. They still there.
It's one thing, like if you're a great artist, like just make the music that you make. You know, you don't have to conform to the sound and the era all the time. You know, you can shift it a little bit. Like J. Cole still remained J. Cole, but he was like, you know what, I'm going to make the beats a little bit more up-tempo, you know, so I don't put everybody to sleep like I normally do. You know, just like that. You know what I mean? If Jay does songs, like he's still going to do J-type song. Like the baby asked, like, what I got to do to get a Jay feature? And everybody's like, yo, Jay ain't rapping over those stupid beats you be rapping on. You know what I mean? Like, he just not.
Hire no ID.
Yeah, like yeah. Like the baby rap, you know the beats the baby raps on, but
the baby, you know, raps on the baby raps
Nas
on
Nas ain't gonna do that either.
The baby raps on beats is sound like the theme song to cartoons.
Yeah.
Every time. I was mad randomly about on his music tip. I was mad when they were like, yo, is this generation's Ludacris? I said, fucking no. Nope. Are you serious? Like, the baby.
Ludacris can actually rap.
It's funny. The baby was looked at one point as like, him and Lil Baby is right there. No one says that shit no more. No one says that shit no more. They're like, is Lil Baby, then it's the rest of you niggas. That's exactly how he looked at it. Now I was like, ugh.
The baby hurt himself because he literally been doing the same song 100 times.
Copy. Like, yeah. Then plus he also shot somebody. So not him. He supported a person that shot somebody. That hasn't helped him at all. Y'all seen that, right?
Yeah. Oh, the Tory Lanez.
How he had a song with him and he went back and forth on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. Also, Tory's moving pretty confident. So,
yo, honestly, I don't want to go back to that, but he's moving like it's like, yo, I'm good. He's moving like he doesn't have any care in the world.
We said it. He was like, hey, you know, it's just a lot of speculation in this story, a lot of gray area.
Put it up. Thank you. Protect Black women.
You know my message is.
Protect Black women. So I guess we'll shift to some good news. I think she won something in this nonsense ass BET Awards. So years ago, because you know that's when Kendrick drops lines. Years ago, Kendrick had a song. I forget the song it was. When he talks about, it's funny. I'm gonna put a picture of the Grammys behind me, even though it's not the Grammys. He talks about supporting. He says something about BET in a line, and he says it's important to support it because supporting Black media is important. And I was like, and I first heard it, I was like, man, yo, fuck BET, just fucking hate BET. And then I was like, maybe there's a point to that, you know, support Black media because shit, tell our own stories, even though we don't own that shit. Or we don't, you know, we're not the creative directors or the CEOs of that shit, but okay. Either way. I didn't really watch a lot of it, but the parts that I did see, I don't care to watch it. I don't know how y'all feel. I just, you know, it just the tributes were nice. The tributes to DMX were nice. The tribute to Queen Latifah was nice. The tribute to the Equalizer was fire.
Wait, what?
UNIT.
She's the Equalizer.
She's a new Equalizer. Equalizer. She is new Equalizer on TV. I don't know. That was an interesting choice for her. But either way, I was
y'all brushing over some shit. I was just letting it go though.
No, no, wait, okay, no, stop. Okay, okay.
No, nah, I don't even want to hear it.
No. Listen, the Equalizer, the movie with Denzel, they turned it into a series. She's the star. She's the Equalizer.
She's the Equalizer.
Let me Google this.
You're not making this up. She's the fucking Equalizer.
She's an Equalizer.
She's literally the Equalizer.
She's like a hit whipping, TV show.
Whipping ass for random people. She's like the A-team without the team. Just helping random people. Soldiers of Fortune and shit.
Yeah, it's That's been what like a viral photo of like Quavo putting a gun to Queen Latifah. I'm pretty sure it's from the Equalizer.
Pretty sure it's from Equalizer. So Quavo was a bad guy at some point. And they fucked over this franchise. They said, yo, who can we get to give legitimacy to this? Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah. I was just like, I fucking love that idea. And they went with it. Yeah, she's the Equalizer. So
she got like Steven Seagal hands.
Yo, really? She do got Steven Seagal hands. She like, ha, hand boys to the chops to the back of the neck.
Steven Seagal hasn't bent his knees or nothing in any movie.
Her scene, yo, you're right. You take her out and put Steven Seagal in it, you're going to be like, take her out. Put Steven Seagal in it and make it a little bit grainy, so it's like the 80s. Perfect match. Perfect match. I'm surprised you didn't see this. Yeah, she's the Equalizer.
She's the Equalizer.
I'm going to just believe you.
She is. She's the Equalizer. So anyways, tribute to her was cool. It was cool to see that. Outside of that, I don't know. I find it hard to watch those types of shows, in particular, like the BET Awards. I just always feel like it's never that entertaining to me, and I feel like it's a lot of pandering, and I'm like, why do we have to pander about like our culture? I think that's what I'm getting tired of. Like, I expect other places to pander, right? I expect people who don't know the culture to pander and say, oh, this is so crazy and so cool, but I think we pander a lot. And I don't know if this show, it doesn't feel like a black run show. It feels like how a black run show would feel if white folks ran it. And I just feel that's a problem for me because it's called black, it's black entertainment television. It should feel like we did it and it never does. And I just, that bothers me. Along with the fact that they put a lot of people on that are just popular where I'm just like, can we just like other people?
It hasn't been that in years.
Yeah,
there's pretty much a Tyler Perry network right now, run by it ain't run by us anymore. I would say that, dude, they don't even play music videos.
No, they do not. They play a bunch of shows. Isn't that show Sisters on that shit too?
Tyler Perry shows and old black movies. You know that they take the cursing out
and do a whole different script on it.
Yep.
Shut your mother. Flipping mouth, like what?
You know, it get like it get terrible voiceovers. You're like, man, suck my toe. Like,
I don't know, man. It's just I don't want to stay here that long. I don't know. Just do better, BET. But I don't know if they're ever gonna do better. Since it was sold, I don't think it's gonna be the same. It had its time, and it's that time has come and gone. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, it's over.
I don't think any reward show is worth it at this point.
Any award show. I agree. I think you know what it sucks is that the BET Awards don't have enough cachet. Like, people still care about the Grammys and the Oscars. For whatever reason that is. I mean, because they're the established standard of like success and, you know, quality entertainment. So I guess you're going to always kind of care about those a little bit. I don't really watch them because they're always notoriously racist to me. But I mean, at least with the Grammys, you got to give a best rap album. Somebody got to get it. So it's like, you know.
It's just interesting, like, how they're still doing a music award show and they don't promote any music.
They don't, which is weird. They should give out, like, reality TV awards.
Yeah, they should do that.
Or sitcom awards.
I don't know why. I don't know why people think that, you know, the idea of 106 and Park coming back would be ridiculous and crazy. But I think they should try it. I think it would actually shift the culture back into people actually being more creative with their music, actually putting effort into promoting their albums, and, you know, not relying so much on Twitter and social media. I think it would actually make artists work more. I think it would actually make record labels develop artists more. You know, I think it would just help bring the music culture back to being a little bit better than where it is now. But that's just my opinion.
I mean, I think that goes back to that's the idea of, like, us owning the culture. It goes where we dictate it goes. Mm-hmm. It goes where we're going to push it. Like, people, you know, you talk about, like, music, and that's such a big, big industry, right? That we are largely the most profitable in. Rap's the most lucrative form of music that there is, right? We make that engine run, but we make the engine. We make the fucking seatbelts. We make the mirrors. We put all that shit together, but we don't own the shit. We don't drive the shit. And I don't understand that. Like, when we have a network like this, this is supposed to be the representation of the culture, right? At least one of them, a main beacon of what the culture is supposed to be about. Why can't we dictate that shit? Maybe there's a reason. Maybe they do the numbers and they're just like, yo, people want to watch them on System Park. Well, I think, again, I remember watching that shit before it got ended and thinking they played half the song. Like, maybe that's why. It's a 4-minute song. You played 2 minutes and 50 seconds of it. Like, cool. Here's a whole other verse left and you just didn't play it. Like, and I just remember thinking it got more away from music, more into, like, celebrity, more into just, you know, that viral type shit. And I get it, but, like, that's why social exists, and it exists in its own right now. Make something that's different than what's on Twitter, then maybe you get people to not be on Twitter and watch this shit. It seems simple enough to me, but again, I'm not in those rooms. I don't make those decisions. But I do feel like, again, this show made me feel like, again, we don't lead the culture. We just go at what's easy and keep it moving. And I feel like that bothered me. So that's why I couldn't watch more than a couple minutes of it at a time. And even when I did, I would just be like, yo, fuck this. I want to go watch the basketball game anyway. Like, that's how I felt. I want to go watch basketball. I don't want to watch this shit. So.
Yep.
Well, leave that where it is.
Yeah.
I guess we can get to these playoffs. There's two series left. Which series do we want to go to first?
Well, the Milwaukee series is pretty much over. Trae Young is hurt. Trae Young's not playing.
Is he officially not playing? Anyway.
No, yeah, Trae Young ain't playing.
Oh, it's over. Oh, yeah. It's over.
I think everybody thought it was like an ankle. I think they said it's like a bruised bone in his foot or something like that. But whatever the case, they weren't beating Milwaukee anyway. So, you know, I'll put it this way. Atlanta gives me that Miami Heat bubble feel.
Yeah. Like, it shouldn't have really happened, but it did. So we're here now. But
yeah, it's like nobody really took you seriously. And you just kept winning games because nobody took you seriously. It's just like, oh, here we are in the finals. Like,
I will say one caveat to that. One team I think took them seriously, it just didn't matter.
Bless
you. I think the Knicks. Hate to say it. I think we took them serious. We just don't have enough talent.
We don't have any offense.
And Julius Randle reverted right back to
the Knicks. Y'all played all y'all players the whole season like y'all were in the playoffs. So of course y'all took them serious.
And I did say this, that this was a concern of mine with Thibodeau from the jump. Because that's what guys out. We're going to win games just because he's going to have people playing hard a lot of minutes every night.
Randle led the league in minutes. I think Barrett was top five.
Right.
Now, now Barry, I don't mind because that dude 19, 20. Like, okay, right. you go rip a run all night. That's fine. Right. Randall's your star. He needs rest, and he didn't get it. So I think he was tired, but I think realistically, that's not what he lost. He lost because he has no fucking moves. He's a 6'8" slasher with no fucking defined moves. Period. Don't pay him, America. America. Fucking Dolan. Don't pay him, please.
I don't think we will.
I think we're going to pay him anyway.
I think we'll go after Dame.
I think they're trying to move pieces for Dame, yes. I think that's the death. I think they need Dame and somebody else. But we'll get to the Knicks, even though this series is over. We might as well with the Knicks.
Yeah, Atlanta skated. You know, I don't know how to describe it, but they're that team. I mean, you just look at them, it's like it's hard to get up to play for them, play against them. You know what I mean? Because you just know you're better.
Trey's slight of build, plays no defense. You got Capella. Capella's a real piece of this team. Why? Right. That's all you need to know.
Quiet is kept. They have like the whitest team left in the league. Like in the playoffs.
Oh, you know, man.
I mean, it's like, you know, Bogdanovich and Gallinari, and you know, it's like
they do have a very diverse team. It's a very diverse team, which is fine. But usually those guys, I mean, again, just
Milwaukee has a diverse team too, but they're not depending on Pat Connaughton. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, that is true. They need Bogey. Atlanta needs Bogey and her to play well.
Right.
They're not hitting an occasional three. They need them to play again, right. Buckets.
Right. The Hawks depend on those guys. So it's like it's hard to get up to play them. You know what I mean? If you're Philly, like how they were last series, you know, even though Doc blew another 3-1 lead. If you're Philly and you're looking at them and you're like, we just go up 20 every time we feel like playing. You get bored with a team like that. And meanwhile, while you're getting bored, they're creeping back into the game. And next thing you know, you're in a close game at the end and you're in a dogfight. And if you fumble the bag, you're going to end up losing. And that's what's been happening.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's a good way to put that. I do think, I mean, we said it before, if Giannis plays how he's supposed to play, this is over.
100%.
They have nothing for him. And when he stopped waiting for them to build the wall and just attack, oh, Capella can't really stop me every time. Of course he can't.
Even the last game, like the Hawks jumped out 25-10.
Yo, it was bad. It was like 15-2 or some shit. I was like, yeah. Ew.
Milwaukee wasn't even concerned because it's the Hawks.
They weren't.
It's like we're fine.
They were chilling and they just kept. You know, timely shots. Giannis got going. I was like, oh, when I saw that happen, and it was like a tie game at halftime, I was like, oh, it's over.
Yeah, because
you can't like, drop 20 on somebody's head in the first quarter and then be like, oh, it's tied at halftime. Right. Oh, that means nothing. That just proves that we're not a good of a team. We got lucky. We got to a good groove. The crowd was feeding off it. The crowd was silent come third quarter. I was just like,
yeah, because their team, like I'm telling you, like it's just they're just not that good. Like if next season they were like a 6th, 7th, 8th seed, nobody would be surprised.
No, I think you expect them to be there.
Right, because you look at them like they're not that good. Just like how Miami, nobody was surprised that Miami sucked this year.
Yeah, no one was like, oh my God, what happened?
Right.
They were a contender. No, they weren't. They weren't a contender. They weren't. So yeah, that series appears to be over. Do you think that, oh, so one thing on this before we, was it, first off, there's been some ridiculous fucking slander on this team. We have other basketball slander to get to as well, but we're going to start with this shit. What the fuck? Who said, was it Nick Wright that said, I'm drawing a blank. What was it? That Middleton was better than like what was the comparison? I gotta remember this. Now I'm losing it. There was something. Oh no, what was it? Kendrick Perkins that said that was Kendrick Perkins. He said this dude said that Chris Middleton is the real Batman and Giannis is the Robin. Please tell me I saw this.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
They compared who they say he was better than. They gave a name that was outrageous. Who was it?
That's some. There was a comparison too. There was something else that was said. I think it was not Kyrie. Who was it? It was somebody they said he was better than, and I can't remember the name either.
Yeah, I'll find it. But yeah, I mean, he eating. Don't get me wrong, but it's versus Atlanta. So
listen, here's the thing that, and I know, G, you're gonna be like, oh, you're going too far with this is, you know, Clutch Sports LeBron thing.
Oh, here we go.
But the only people that were pushing these narratives were literally guys that are associated with Clutch Media. So the whole idea of Giannis being Robin and Middleton being the best player on the team were coming from guys like Kendrick Perkins, Nick Wright,
Clutch guy,
Captain Jack. And it's like, where are you getting this from? And it's only the only reason why they're doing that is to downplay Giannis. Because Giannis is a top player in the league and he's a threat to being better than LeBron. You know, and it's the only reason why nobody else was saying things stupid like that. Nick Wright literally said that Chris Middleton, we need to be asking the questions. Chris Middleton better than Paul George. Chris Middleton has a good game once every 2 weeks. And you know, and we're looking at, it's like somebody posted Giannis numbers. It's like 40, 35, 36, 34, 32, 40. And Middleton has that one time in the playoffs, something that Giannis was doing on the regular, and they're like, yo, he's better.
Yo, there's a crazy stat that I saw, and this I think sums it up perfectly. They say Middleton, when he shoots better than 40% from the field, they're undefeated. Or like 9-3 or some shit like that. 40%.
40%.
And they win, right? But they said, they said only when he shoots 40%. But considering how many games they lost, I was like, whoa. You mean to tell me all you have to do is shoot 40% and that's when y'all win? But he was averaging like 33% or some shit. I was like, oh.
But see, they don't want to hear
math.
That.
Let me understand math.
Yeah,
no, wait, listen, America, follow my math. They just said, if you hit better than 4 out of 10 shots, we're guaranteed to win the game. We are fucking a lock. And you can't do it in the playoffs?
Listen, I saw
a video. I was done. I was done when I heard that. When I saw that, I was done. I was like, Middleton?
God. I saw a video that ESPN did, and it was like they were doing like the best shooters and worst shooters of the season based on certain areas of the floor.
Oh, yeah, I think I sent that. Or if you didn't,
yeah. I think it was for last playoffs. I don't think they did it for this. They didn't do it for this playoffs yet. Last playoffs, Chris Middleton had the worst shooting percentage in the paint in the entire playoffs. He's 6'8". And they saying, like, if he shoots anywhere close to the basket, he's going to miss. And they're saying that he's better than Giannis.
It's insane. It's insane. I'm with you. I think it's a media smear. I think it's a way to make Giannis not look as incredible. I think any player, it's happened to Paul George. It's happened to Giannis. It doesn't really happen to Trey because no one thinks he's supposed to be there.
Trey is on Clutch Sports. Remember, Trey Young last week, Trey Young was better than Steph. He's better than AI. He's better than Kyrie.
Interesting.
He's better than Dame Lillard. These are all stuff that, like, Nick Wright was saying. And you got other media guys saying.
I just think there's clearly a bias towards guys that sympathize with LeBron or LeBron guys. There's clearly a bias. And I just think anyone that's not that has to be knocked down a peg by comparison. They knocked down Kawhi. They not who lost? They knocked down and beating them boys. Oh, they can't get it done. KD loses. They can't get it done. They're not as good. Everybody that loses that's not an obvious LeBron guy gets a pass. I mean, gets ridiculed. All his guys don't. Like, why in the world? Everyone should be saying Ben Simmons is trash. Every single person should be saying it. Everyone should be screaming it. Not enough are saying it. And that's my
point. Crazy. You're crazy if you don't think that.
No, but I think he's, I mean, you are crazy if you don't think that.
But it's a lot of people, like on the media, it's a lot of people defending Ben Simmons. You know, it's like,
you know, the real outrage is turning into, well, it's because of Doc. It is because of Doc, but like, what do you, I only give Doc credit for one thing. Y'all gave this motherfucker the match. You want him to not play him? He got to show you. He like, well, he took away his confidence. You know what made that man real confident? Making the fucking free throws. That would make you confident. They said, another stat that blew my mind. They said that Ben Simmons, this playoff run, shot the worst from the free throw line ever. Ever. And he was like, I think Stephen A had asked that. He said, ever. The worst percentage from the line in the playoffs ever.
Ever.
From a minimum of, like, I think it was 70 shots or whatever. I was like, yo, like, you have to trade him, but, like, who wants that bum? I think his only destination is Portland. That's the thing Stephen A said. Still, I hate to switch team like that, but, yeah, that's the only team I think you can take him. But I just, why is no one else talking about that? Well, I don't want to hear about Doc Rivers. Nothing. This man just historically bad. Historically bad.
You know what? Not really a hot take, but I think it's coaching. I'm not saying that, you know, he doesn't have decent coaching, but I think it's probably two things. There's probably a bunch of laziness on his end, and there's a system that I think he could do really well in. But people keep trying to force him. I think you said it last week, Rick. People keep trying to force him to play a position that he probably just shouldn't be playing. Yeah, but I think the coach that changes that, we'll see. I'm not saying he's going to be a superstar, but I bet you he'll improve.
Like, his thing, like, that's the thing. Like, he's not – like, everybody has him playing point guard, but he's not that. Like, he has this – like, he can pass and all that crap. But, you know, play him – play a real point guard with him.
I think the problem is, he's LeBron-esque in a sense of he's best with the ball in his hands. He's not a spot-up shooter at all. So, like, where do you put him at?
And that's the thing, like, for me, I'm coaching Ben because, you know, it's hard for me to blame Doc because it's like, all right, you can't make free throws. Like, that's all mental. But then the other thing is, like, where else can I really put you to be beneficial to the team to produce? Like, and if I was him, like, I would kind of try to do, like, okay, put him at the four, maybe post him up a little bit more, make him play a little high-low with Embiid or something like that. But at the same time, he won't shoot. So that's the other thing. Like, he literally is, like, allergic to shooting the ball. So it makes it difficult to play him. And at the same time, like, you have to play him because if I'm the owner, you're going to pay him because I'm paying him the max. So you better figure it out.
Kind of has to pay him.
He might not be as effective as Giannis, but he literally could be doing it. They guard Giannis the same way.
He could be, but the difference is Giannis works hard and he doesn't. Yeah,
and that was the other part of it.
They said that, though. Like, the word on him is that he doesn't work hard. He's lazy as shit. He's always trying to be in some Kardashian's face or Jenner's face, apparently. He don't do shit else. That's all he wants to do. And I feel like that's where I think, G, you're right. It does come out of coaching. Because if I'm a coach, I'm going to look at him and tell him, listen, especially if I'm a coach, the kind of cachet that Doc Rivers has. Every coach can't do this. You know what I mean? Like, you know, dude just got hired for the Celtics. He can't walk in there and be like, Tatum, you're off the bench, bitch. They're going to be like, what? No, the fuck he's not. He can't do that. But Doc Rivers coming in there after they've already failed and they think they have a championship level roster, I think he comes to him and he says, listen, you get better from the free throw line or I'm benching you.
And I think, and that's what I think Doc is afraid. Because I think one thing, like, all the other Sixers players got better this season under Doc Rivers. Embiid had his best season. Seth Curry had his best season. Tobias Harris. Everybody got better. Ben is the only one that didn't.
It seems like he's not – coached hard, and again, the word is, and again, this is from Stephen A, who has his Philly connects, which is like, yeah, he don't want to work hard, he don't be in the gym, and you can honestly, it is partially mental, I'm sure. But some of it's just like, if you have good mechanics and you practice those mechanics, you're going to naturally be better than 34%. Yeah, I mean, you just try, you're going to be better than that. But I don't believe it's all mental. I think it's a lot of it's just you not putting in the work.
Not putting in the work, and he gets coddled and baby, which I fully believe.
Yeah.
Because if you watch the documentary they had, it was 1 year at LSU on Showtime. He's like the youngest in his family. Now, and on top of obviously bringing in, like, he's the cash cow. He's the golden goose. But then also, you're just looking at it like, yo, nobody tells us, like, the whole document, nobody told this dude no for nothing. And it's like, and most of the documentary is surrounded by his family. So it's just like, you're sitting there seeing it, like, nobody's going to hold him accountable for anything.
Accountability. Yep.
And you know, it's just a difference. Like, it's different between Giannis didn't want the levels to come down to him. He worked harder so he can reach up to the levels. Ben Simmons strikes me as a guy like, hey, figure out a way to make it easier for me. Somebody figure out how to make this easy for me, as opposed to me having to work harder and getting better. Somebody should shift their entire style of play or coaching because I won't shoot and I can't shoot. Somebody needs to figure out how to make me effective because I won't use the gifts that I have. You know what I mean? And it's just like, you know, it's frustrating when you're dealing with a player like that. But had people done their homework, they'd have realized that he's had that attitude since he was in high school.
Yep. So do we think he has to get traded, right? He absolutely has to get traded. Absolutely.
Yeah, send him to Dame. Send him somewhere where he don't got to do much.
Nah, he gonna be the star because Dame coming this way. No, you probably send not.
Him. I'd like to see him with, like, I don't know, like a Chris Paul or Dame.
Right now, it's like those dudes you're not gonna win with the Ben Simmons right now.
You're not.
I just don't think, because when you look at it, like, every guy that tries to build a team around one guy that dominates the ball, like Dallas or like LeBron for a lot of years, you know, even with the Hawks or Trae Young or Chris Paul dominating the ball a lot, those teams never win. You need like a team that has a little bit more unity and they got multiple guys that can do multiple things. You had that, but Ben Simmons just can't play in that type of system. And then if you put him by himself with like a team with just him and a bunch of shooters, they're not going to win either. So he's just not a player that's just going to win you a championship right now. So you got to find something else.
Like I said, I think the him going for CJ McCollum, it works. I think that's where his value is right now, because McCollum's a bum. But on that team, he kind of fits because you just need somebody to be a shooter.
McCollum, CJ can score. You know what I mean? Like a poor man's Bradley Beal. But
good comparison. Poor man's Bradley Beal. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, this other playoff series, I mean, it still feels like it's over, but do you get a bit of that Warriors, Cavs, they blew their shot on game 5. Now it's going to game 6. OKC, like, maybe you should have closed them out. Now you got to go back to their house. They're going to be rocking. Clips survived.
If the Clippers come back and win this, there's one person to blame it on.
Chris Paul.
Because
they was winning without that nigga. It would be, you know what? I'm going to say they blow it. Only because it'd be such a Chris Paul thing to happen. No Bron, maybe a Giannis, but no Kawhi. Like, no one in the West to really stop ya. You had the best team left. You're up. You got a nice, you know, star tandem. And here you come to give the guidance and the poise and the pressure. And you still lose. And you lose after being up. I do think they're going to fold. I don't want them to fold because I don't think the Clippers are going to be as good of a series as the Suns would be. I think if the Suns can get there, they'll be okay. I feel like with Chris Paul, a lot of it's just, I've never got to a finals. Get me there and I'll show you what I can still do. But I do feel like they're going to fold.
Chris Paul has been the problem since he's been back for that team. So even like they went 2-0 without him. And a lot of it had to do with because they were playing at a faster pace. Because, you know, you got Cameron Payne pushing the point. The team is real young. And the Clippers are tired. They've been playing every other day for like over a month.
Exhausted.
Literally over a month. They've been playing every other day. So he's like, they're not going to have the same type of legs in the fourth quarter if you've been running all game and playing in a fast pace. Chris Paul doesn't do that. Chris Paul likes to be a traffic cop and come out there and just try to
traffic cop. I'm done.
try to run plays, hold the ball and walk the ball up and, you know, let's run pick and roll and let's do this and let's run this play or let's try to get this going. And it plays right into the Clippers' hands. So if the Clippers come back and win, it would mean that they have lost 4 out of 5 since Chris Paul came back from COVID. So, you know, if Chris Paul wants to, like, I think they can close him out in next game because the Clippers don't really play well at home. But if they lose the next game, I think the Clippers are going to win. And Chris Paul is going to have a lot to do with that because he wants to play traffic cop instead of just running and doing what they were doing to beat them the first two games.
Their game's been looking real sloppy, man. It's been kind of like you one could say they're playing good defense, but like you just look at the plays, it's like people are just missing. Like people are just like tired.
Yeah. Like Clippers, to me, it's like Clippers been getting pretty much everything they want. You know, and Phoenix is just like, I mean, you got a lot of inexperienced guys out there. And Phoenix, I think, just hasn't been able to. The young guys been kind of getting to playing a little bit too rushed on offense. You don't play that slow. Because I think when the Clippers went zone on them yesterday to start the game.
They didn't know what to do. They hit that zone. They were looking like, oh, I need an adult. They had no clue what to do. I'm like, it's a basic zone. Like,
it's a small zone. Like Marcus Morris is the big. And it's like, we'll just keep shooting threes.
I need this is where I don't like the book comparisons to Kobe. Boy ain't aggressive enough. He set us with too many tough jumpers, which Kobe did to an extent, but Kobe would get in the paint and the man plays no defense. Both of those things were sorely missed in the game they've been losing. If you play a little bit of defense, I mean, this man's sitting there just hands up. I'm just like, all right, bro, like get in there, man. Position yourself better. Make an attempt to stop the shot, like something. And then when you on offense, like get in the paint. I mean, at least get yourself a decent look. Make them react to you. I just sat there and watched them boys shoot against it like it was nothing. I was like, okay. On the other hand, Moore's giving you buckets. Just buckets. I was like.
Like in PG, just waited. You know, he let the game come to him while everybody else, Reggie Jackson, Morris, Cousins, it was all balling. It's like, hey, when it's time to show up, he showed up.
I got to get some respect on his name, man. He's I'm sure he's overall upset that Kawhi is out, but he's like, I'm showing boys, I am that guy. Mm-hmm. Let me get the chance.
Yeah, we'll see.
It ain't over yet, though. If he loses,
he's had a career's worth of chances. So I mean,
yes,
we have a history of him not making it. So I mean, this is another notch where
is his worse than Chris Paul's?
No.
It's worse than Chris Paul. Let me think about that.
I would say no because he always plays, for the most part, he's always plays stellar defense. Even on that Dame shot, it was good defense.
That's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. It was a bad shot.
Like, bro, you got to walk that back at some point. Like, I need to see in 20 years when they do like the documentary on that shot, I need him to walk that back.
It's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. It's a bad shot.
But again, in his defense, it was still stellar defense. He was almost there. I mean, not enough. He was almost.
I'm not letting you get away with saying
it. Right.
No.
He gave him enough room to just shoot comfortably.
He didn't watch him practice that in the warmups.
He hit one earlier, like in the quarter.
He didn't hit one earlier in the quarter. It's never going to forget that. But either way.
His legit rationale was, yo, that's not a good shot, so I'm not going to play defense.
I didn't say he was the smartest defender. I said he plays hard most of the time on defense. Either way,
I don't like Paul George's game. I used to think I used to like it, but like, just like now that the spotlight is on him and he's getting like national television, because like when he's playing in like Indy, it's like I don't see this nigga play. I've seen play every playoff when Bron smacking him. So now that I actually see him play, his game bothers me when he tries too hard. But like you were saying, when he lets the game come to him, I'm down. But he's doesn't. He doesn't have a go get me a bucket game, in my opinion.
I think he was doing it yesterday, but he was relaxed, like you said. Like,
I think he can, but I think he's a guy that he can't play with like that. Like Mamba mentality doesn't work for him.
No,
like it don't work. He has to be on like a settled, like oh, gee, you watch Dragon Ball Z?
I watch everything.
Ultra Instinct, you get that reference. And my nerves to get that reference. He's like that. I have to let go and it'll just flow. You know what I mean? That's he can't be like focused, like, I'm gonna get this. Nah, he gotta be like, oh, cool. It's time for me to shoot. Cool. All right, nice. Like if he's in that flow, he's good because he's 6'10 with a nice jumper and like good. He's good going to the basket when he's not like selling and trying to be aggressive. When he goes looking for he goes to the whole like Harden trying to get contact, and it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
If he just goes in there trying to score, he's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I don't know if I'm old school or if I just like watching basketball a different way. It just feels like how hard that they take to score. It's like the coach, like, man, draw something up, man. Like move a little bit, like get a cut, go something, man. It's just like it's so hard. It's just so.
Yeah,
it's frustrating just, to watch them like just pretty much. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of standing around the NBA now, just pick and roll. That's why the Hawks. It's like they're going to probably lose tonight because Trey's not playing, but their whole offense is predicated on the Trey Young pick and roll.
Like, pick and roll up top. That's literally the whole. It was crazy to me. It's like you haven't figured out a way to stop this shit yet. Yep. He does the same play and runs in transition. That's all their offense. Transition threes. Top of roll, pick and roll with either a floater or a roller. Like, what are you doing? It's just crazy.
I want to give a shout out to Pat Bev's defense.
Hey.
Oh, Chris Paul. Working out with the Timbs has been working, paying off.
He came back.
Less troll.
Don't count if you ain't got Timbs on.
I really like how Pat Bev is playing, how he's playing in general. Like, you don't, and I know it's probably like a conscious effort for the team, but like the literally, all right, I'm gonna guard you. I'm just gonna stand at the 3-point line and you're gonna run on the baseline. And I'm just not gonna let you catch the ball. And if they try to throw it over the top, I don't care. You're a little nigga. I got big dudes down there. Like, yeah, I appreciate that. I don't necessarily know if I would have did it, but
Pat Bev is getting it the old school
pickpocket steal. He's fun to watch. He's fun to watch. There's not many guys that play primarily just defense that are fun to watch. He's fun to watch.
Shots.
Occasionally.
Occasionally,
he has some shots. But I like watching him play. I really do. There aren't many guys that, like, I'm like, okay, they play defense in a way that I actually want to watch. But he does.
I like his defense because, like, he really don't be doing nothing. But he's so animated that everybody, like, stuff is happening. Like, he's really not like sliding his feet the right way. He's really not like beating up to the spot. He's just like so animated. His defensive
technique is awful, but he puts so much energy into trying to stop you.
and he's aggravating. I kind of like, and he's a troll. That's why you like him, G, because he's a troll.
100%.
You see him mimicking Chris Paul's flop when he got the bullshit flagrant. Yo, he's just jumping around like that. Shit was hilarious.
Chris Paul,
how do you not like that?
I do think it was actually legit. Like he did hurt his back, but he was jumping around like a fish. Like when he hit the floor,
when Pat Bev did that, like honestly, he is that quintessential. When he's on your team, you love him. But when you play against him, you hate him. He is the quintessential player like that. I swear, aggravating. Like just be seeing him, like yo. But he look like he having fun. I respect it. He having fun. He pissing you off, but he having a good time doing it. He's picking you up.
Full court.
Right. He's full the court. Dude that's like still talking just as much stuff when he down 30. Like,
score doesn't matter. Time doesn't matter.
Just you wait. We gonna get back in this. Just watch. Bro, it's 3 minutes left. Nah, you don't know. Be nice like that. All right, son. All right. Whatever you say.
Where are you from? He's Chicago, right?
He's from Chicago.
Yeah, he's from Chicago. Yeah.
One of them. He's one of them.
All the way. Like, you see, like, you remember, he's the only guy on the Knuckleheads podcast when they asked the question, who, you know, who's the first person to bust your ass? And Pat Bev was the only guy that said, nobody's ever bust my ass.
Like, yep. Yep. I mean, we got tape evidence, but, you know, I feel you.
Right. Nobody's ever done it. Chris Paul, I mean, Kevin Durant said, I'm Kevin Durant, dropped 50, but nobody's ever done it.
Right. It just happens to appear that your boy Pip, I don't know what's going on, man, but it sounds like he got some bad weed or something. Because this,
he might have do we got a book coming out or something?
Yo, I mean, just.
He does have a book coming
out. He is wilding. Like, he, okay, so y'all seen the clip, and if you haven't seen this, it's the Dan Patrick interview. This clip's been going on, so like maybe 2 minutes long. He calls to a racist, which I'm not even mad about that on its own. You've been around him. Maybe you know something we don't know. Okay, fair. But he's racist because he drew up a shot for Tony Kukoc instead of you. Like, that's why he's racist. Not because, and I watched The Last Dance. They thought Kukoc was the guy to succeed. He played overseas, so he wasn't really a rookie, you lying ass motherfucker. But okay. Maybe they just thought he was a better shooter than you. No, it's not that. Are you letting the hate you have for MJ really make you call another man racist? That shit just seems foul. That just seems foul to me. That he would say, oh, you couldn't let Scottie Pippen take the last shot. So I have been this many years. Like, could you imagine if Kendrick Perkins was saying to Doc, yo, I've been here for so long. I can't get the last shot. I've been here for, like, what? Are you fucking, like, he's better shooting than him, obviously. But, like, how does that make any sense? If I just, I don't know, man. I think something wrong with him. After he said, first off, that Bron won with no help in 2016, and now this, maybe it is. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's the book. It's clearly the book deal. It's got to be. Because he sound crazy as shit. Crazy.
I mean, to me. Like, here's my thing. The racist claim. He has a point with Phil because Phil has had questionable statements that can be painted as that.
The posse statement was one.
Right. I got one right here that he had from his book Maverick, where he says white players are more often willing to run patterns and work collectively. Because of the predominance of blacks in pro basketball, the sport is rapidly disintegrating into one-on-one sport. There are only 5 or 6 NBA teams who play with more than a superficial degree of team unity. Then he said, on the Knicks, the starting front court played white basketball while the guards played black basketball. That was talking about him, you know, Earl of Pearl and Clyde Frazier. Then he said, there's also a quote from the book, black kids growing up want to be the superstar of their neighborhood. They want to be the toughest kid on the block, the richest, or once they get to the playground, the best one-on-one basketball player. White kids, on the other hand, usually are raised in a more homogenous environment, which provides other outlets for personal expression. They're also constantly being taught the principle of subordinating their own personal glory for their good, for the good of the group. End quote.
Now, so. Here's the thing. I think Phil's too smart for his own good. I think what he says is partially correct. Partially, I think he shouldn't be the one saying it. And that is probably the bigger issue. I don't think, I think it's unfair to think that guys don't want to be the star because they want to be the star because they're black. I mean, look at Doncic. You think he just wants to not be the star? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. I think he does.
I mean, that's why
you think Dirk didn't want to be the star? That's nonsense. You think Nash didn't want to be a star? That's nonsense. Of course they want to be a star. I do think he's right about one thing, but I think he's talking about, he spoke about a racial issue from a very white place. Not understanding the socioeconomic factors as to why black boys are one way and white boys are another way. And I think for him to not understand that, as smart as he portrays himself to be, is kind of lazy, because you should understand the factors that are at play here. The different homes that y'all come from, you should get that. playing basketball for most black kids may be a way out. So maybe they feel they had to do certain things. I mean, there's ways you could have described that and not sound like a fucking elitist ass racist. There's ways you could have described it and not sounded like that. So, I mean, but this his points aren't necessarily incorrect wholly. I just think the collection of it is bad. But even still, let's assume Pip knows something we don't know and he's racist, or he just goes off that since he's racist. He didn't use that as the example, which I think is what's
right. That's the thing. Use the which wrong I think, example.
Which I think is crazy. He didn't use that example. He said he didn't give me the last shot. That's like, what he said.
That's not the one to use to call him a racist.
I didn't get the last shot. MJ's gone. You wouldn't let me shoot.
Like if you said something like, "Yeah, you know, he liked to play Judd Bushler more than Scotty Burrell," then you might, you know, you might be on to something.
Oh my god!
Or like man, he liked to play Steve Kerr more than Ron Harper. Then you like, you know, you might have been on to something, but none of those really factor into him being right. Him drawing up a play for Kukoc, who was hot that game, and you know, cooking is not being racist. The other points that Scotty said made a lot of sense. He's like, "Yo, I'm the man on this team. I'm up here in MVP votes. I won All-Star Game MVP. Like, I'm the dude right now." That would have showed more why he's angry than saying, "Oh, he just didn't do it because he's a racist." Like, that didn't make sense. He just threw that out there. Hope it stuck.
Yeah, it's sticking a little bit.
He doesn't. It's crazy because, like, there are some moments where I thought, okay, he might be an intelligent guy. And then there's some moments where I'm like, okay, somebody's in your ear. Like, something's going on. Like, this is coming out of, to me, it's coming out of, like, nowhere. And really, it's the book deal, right? Like, he's probably just trying to
sell some book.
Start some controversy, sell some shit. Which, whatever. People are going to read. They're going to buy it to read to try to find the story that he's talking about. And he's going to make some money.
Like, you know, he's been saying crazy stuff, but you got to, like, people have just been taking small clips or, like, excerpts of what he's saying and making him seem like a super nut job, even though he's been saying some crazy stuff. But, like, when you listen to the whole clip or watch the whole interview or whatever it is he's saying, you kind of get where he's coming from. But, you know, he's just using the wrong examples.
I think he's a troll. I think he does this on purpose. I don't think he believes half of what he says, honestly, because he's done it so many times. He's always saying some random shit and people are just like, what? I think he enjoys the shock value of it. I think he's deeply bitter that he was probably the most famous number two to the most famous number one of all time. And I would even say he's the most famous number two. I mean, probably not. But I think he played with the greatest, and he also is a Hall of Fame player in his own right. I think he wishes he got more.
He's the clearest Robin ever in the NBA.
The so clearest Robin, great, yes.
Yes, because you had other great duos, but you can't say, all right, Kareem is Robin, Magic is Batman. Like, you can't do that because Kareem is Kareem. Couldn't say that with Shaq and Kobe because Kobe's Kobe.
I mean, I think in those cases, you could almost argue that there was times when each of them played the Batman role. There were times when Kobe closed, right. There were times when Shaq closed. And then you always know, like, you guys, you know, remember watching some 80s basketball. We're old enough to remember some of those clips. Like, your boy Kareem, as he got older, it became Magic's team. And it was more relying on Magic and you know, him doing his thing. So, I mean, it was never a time when you watched them boys play and thought, yo, Pip got to carry it tonight.
Right. Never.
No, not.
But it's like, why are you even mad, dude? Like,
right.
He's literally the greatest player of all time, and you're considered the number two to him.
Right. Like, Michael honestly, said, like, I wouldn't have won without you. So, like, what are you upset about?
What do you want, man?
I think he wants his own shoe. He wants to be in Space Jam 3. I think he's, I hate to say this word, he's a fucking hater. They always say, be the ones closest to you. I think he's a fucking hater. I hate to just the thing making is, him as that, but he always says shit that either tries to make himself look better or disparage somebody else, just like your boy LeBron. Sorry,
nobody dogs him though. Like everybody right. gives him his
flowers. He has a room
full of flowers. Like you can't put no more flowers in there.
No one feels like that.
Whenever they talk about Mike, they talk about Pippen. Now they may say better things about Mike, but they do not talk about one without the other. Like when they talk about Mike getting good, they talk about obviously they talk about other people that came on the team, but he's always like, man, this is the guy. Then they talk about Rodman. They go Pippen, maybe Rodman, and then they talk about all the supporting guys.
I don't think it feels like enough for him, which is what I'm saying. I don't think it feels like enough.
But the whole thing, everybody's trying to figure out, what more do you want?
He wanted like, that dude, shot, motherfucker. He wanted the MVP. He won a ring without Mike. I think that's what he wanted.
He did say that though. Like he did say, like Phil robbed him of his chance to show, like I didn't need Mike to win. And that shot was like one of those chances that he had. And like you robbed him.
He would have missed that shit anyway because he's like not a shooter.
Right. I don't see.
That was my whole thing too. I'm like, Kukoc's always had a smooth jumper. Like you,
he shoots better. And shit, if Mike was there, Phil wouldn't have been drawing it up for Kukoc.
That's why I just it's interesting. I hope he keeps talking because maybe we'll hear more and I'll stop thinking he's just a hater. There's more to what he's saying than just this nonsense, but doesn't feel like it.
No, I think like he's role, just
not your role.
Like, you know, he's just jealous of Mike at the end of the day. Like he'll never leave his shadow. You know, it's Michael Jordan. Like it could be worse. Like they could, like people can actually feel like the Pistons feel because the Pistons, you heard Bill Laimbeer said, you know, Scottie Pippen, who's that? Bill Laimbeer said it's Jordan and the Jordanaires. Mm. We don't care about Scottie.
And that's why he feels the way he feels. I mean, between that and his wife getting banged out by 22-year-olds, that's probably what hurts the most.
I think that's what took him over the edge of like, I don't care anymore.
Yo, right.
Yes, don't.
Your girl out with this with this week's trap artist of the year.
Right. She left you like from Malik Beasley?
I saw that. I was like, who is this?
Timberwolf?
He's like the fifth best Timberwolf.
And that's the worst team in the league.
Are you right?
Scottie's like, yo, like I'm one of the greatest players of all time, a top 50 player.
Top 50, 100%. Maybe top 20, top 30.
You're leaving me for a guy who wouldn't even be a top 50 player in the league right now?
Right now.
In Minnesota? Malik Beasley?
Yo, she crushed that, man. Now you're out here talking crazy. Talking just greasy. Ugh. Man, somebody go check on Pippen. So somebody knock on that man's door.
You can tell by his hair, man. He's looking like he's starting to get that. You're gonna look like Basquiat in a minute.
Is he going with the free forms? He said, fuck it.
Like you look like just look at him. Like you could tell he does not care anymore.
No, in his face, he looks like I don't care. That's what I'm saying. That's
the hair of a broken man. That's the hair of a broken man. That's the hair of a guy who puts on sweatpants with no pockets. That's the hair of a man.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
No pockets.
Broken man right there.
You saying so? You naming some things that really get me sketched out about people.
Yo, no pockets. That's the one. That's like, the one right there. That pants with no pockets.
The hair of a man that got nothing left. I have nothing left.
Yo,
that's why he's going off. Like, I have nothing left. I don't care anymore. She took everything from me. I got nothing left.
Yeah, man. So we'll end on this. Do the Sixers win tonight? Not Sixers. They already lost. Does the Bucks win tonight? 100%. Yes. This series over in five.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
I called in five with Trae Young.
Dude,
it's five. Definitely five without him.
Do the Suns win game six? Which is tomorrow.
In order for me to stick with my round one prediction, I have to say yes.
All right. Well, we shall see. All right, cool. Well, later, America. That's all we got.